So for those of you who read the weekly email that I send out, hands up if you do. No, I'm only joking. Right. I can tell. You'll have noticed that I'm not Bill Donahue. Slightly smaller and slightly. Bill was due to preach this morning, but Bill is unwell. So here we are. And we're on the topic following the series of the I Am sayings of Jesus. And today we're on Jesus saying, I am the door. And we're looking at John chapter 10 for this particular saying of Jesus. We all know what a door is. Okay, some people know what a door is. But we all use doors every single day. Whether they're sliding doors, whether they're automatic doors, or whether they're the old-fashioned doors with handles and hinges, we all use them. There's different styles of doors. There's doors that are solid. There's doors with glass in them. There's doors that are half doors. There's doors that you can get anything you want nowadays in terms of a door. But they all serve the same function. Doesn't matter what it looks like, how fancy it is, or how expensive it is, it all serves exactly the same function. They allow you in or out of a certain place. That's the purpose of a door. So, with that premise in mind, let's read what Jesus says about himself as he describes himself as a door. We turn to John chapter 10. And we begin here at verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. But Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it abundantly. So here is one of those very, as I said last week, the I am sayings of Jesus are very powerful. They're very emotive and they create a great deal of imagery within us. And so within this kind of imagery of what Jesus is using, this should have been imagery that would have been second nature, if you like, to his hearers. It's a wee bit more alien to us because we don't here in inner East Belfast have lots of sheep and sheep pens and gates to keep them in and out. But in the culture that Jesus was speaking this, it would have been second nature to understand the image that he was using. And so here in this kind of image, the shepherd is the Father, the door is Jesus, and the sheepfold is the church, if you like. It's a place of safety, of refuge, a place where they gather together to ensure that they remain safe and secure. Now, the sheepfold would have been high, so its walls would have been very high. It would have been reasonably large because it wasn't just one little kind of flock of sheep that would have done it. A number of flocks of sheep would have went into the sheepfold at night, and they would have hired a watchman, if you like. The shepherds would have hired a watchman to sit at the door. So if a thief, as it says here, the only way a thief can get in is climb over the top and get in, because there's somebody at the door. The only entrance is blocked by someone who is charged and employed to look after it. And so the sheepfold's large and it's high. And the only people that are allowed in and out of it are the shepherds whose sheep are in it. Nobody else is allowed in or out of it. Only the shepherds whose sheep are in it are allowed in and out of the sheep pen. Now, that also tells us that, as I said before, there are lots of different flocks of sheep in the sheepfold. It's not just one. So sometimes when we read this, we have the image that there is just one flock of sheep in it, and that's it. But often it wouldn't have been that case. And so that's important, and I want you to hold on to that little thought as we move on into the rest of this morning. That little thought that there's a lot of sheep all mixed together. Just hold that one in your head. But this door that Jesus is describing, this gate, and the word door and gate in this kind of explanation is almost interchangeable. And depending on what version you use, I read out the ESV today and it uses door and gate in it. But some other versions will simply use gate. But it serves the same purpose. It's the only way in and out is through this door. Now, Jesus said that he was the door. So Jesus is effectively, right at the very beginning, saying, I am the only way in and out. There is no other way. That's a bold statement and a bold claim. He is the only way. Later on, we know in the Gospel of John, he declares that even clearer whenever he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But Jesus declaring that he is the door, he is the only way to get in. See, if you begin this John chapter 10 again, you hear these words. Truly, truly, I say to you. Truly, truly, I say to you. Now, who's he talking to? Well, if you read previously, he's had an altercation. He's had a discussion, a discourse with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, with the religious leaders of the day, who have challenged him on a number of things. I've challenged him why he claims to be God, why he claims to be the one that can heal, why he is healing people on the Sabbath. And so this discourse, this conversation is going on. So Jesus, at the beginning of John chapter 10, is saying, truly, truly, I tell you, I say to you, to the Pharisees, to the ones who are standing against him, I'm the door. I'm the only way. The time is coming for you to begin to step back. Your power and your authority will begin to fade because I am coming into my authority and my time. Because he then goes on to say, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in another way, that man's a thief and a robber. So the only way the thief could come to steal the sheep was to climb over the top. Now, you have to imagine that these Pharisees are hearing this. Jesus has told them that he is the only way. But now subtly he is saying to them that they are the thieves and the robbers. That they are robbing God and the people of their right standing before him. Now later on in verse 10, as we'll touch a bit towards the end, Jesus begins to say that the thief and is the devil, that he only comes to steal and kill and destroy, but he comes to give us life and life in all of its fullness. And so at the very beginning of this declaration that he is the door, there's a contrast with those others who are teaching, with those others who have set themselves in a place of authority. Jesus is contrasting and he's saying, not your time, my time is now coming. And verse 3 is really important in this passage. It says, to him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. Let's break that verse 3 down a little bit. I don't know if you can put that back up onto the screen. That would be great. So if you put that John chapter 10 and then the first 3 bit up on the screen, it would be brilliant. To him the gatekeeper opens. Do you remember I said the shepherd was the only one who was allowed in? So whenever the shepherd who has sheep in the sheep pen approaches the sheep pen, the watchman knows that they are allowed in. So whenever you're in the sheep pen, you're safe and secure. Whenever you're a part of the church, remember the sheep pen is the church. Whenever you're a part of the church, the body, not the physical building. The scripture describes the church as the community of believers. The understanding that as we who give our life to Christ become a part of his family, the family of God, being the church. Whenever we are in the church, we are safe from the thieves and the robbers. We are safe from the devil snatching us out and pulling us away if we remain part of the fellowship of the believers and we don't allow ourselves to be distanced and sidelined. Because if a single sheep was outside of the sheepfold at night, the likelihood was they wouldn't have survived the night. But how often do you or I distance ourselves from other believers and from the community of faith? And whenever we do that, we begin to kind of, well, we dwindle away. We drift slowly. We begin to fall out of love with the church and with the people in it and with God. And then after a few months and a few years, we say, God, where did you go? What happened there? So it is incumbent upon us to ensure that we are remaining a part of the community of faith, that we are taking responsibility for our own faith development, that we are growing as disciples of Christ right here, right now. So the gatekeeper allows the shepherd in, and the sheep hear his voice. The sheep hear his voice. There's an image there, isn't there, that whenever the shepherd appears at the gate of the sheep pen and speaks, that out of the hundreds of sheep, the ones that belong to him immediately lift their heads and begin to look towards him because they know, they hear his voice. And we're going to expand that a little bit later, but it's important to understand and know that they hear his voice. The sheep are waiting and listening for his voice. They are expectant that the shepherd will return. Are you expectant that you will hear God's voice? Are you expectant whenever you come to worship, a collective worship like this? Are you expecting that God is going to speak? Are you expecting whenever you sit down in your home on your chair with a cup of tea or coffee and you open his word, are you expecting that in that moment he will give you fresh manna for that day? You should be. Because he will. And he does. Verse 3 then goes on, to him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. That's just absolutely wonderful. Here's a Mediterranean shepherd looking after a few sheep, and he's given each one of them a name. And so he goes up to the sheep pen. The watchman allows him in. He begins to speak, I assume, to the watchman. So the sheep hear his voice. They pick up their heads. And then he says, Margaret, Quentin, James, Amy. He calls them by name. And they start coming out. There's echoes right through the pages of the scriptures that God knows you by name. He knows you so intimately, so lovingly, so graciously, so forgivingly that he knows you by name. And he calls you by name. He knows who you are and who you're destined to be. And so he calls you by name. Take that step back. If you're in a crowd at Forestside on a Saturday afternoon and someone calls your name, you might not always hear it unless you're expectant of it. You might not always hear it unless you know that voice really well. A few years ago, whenever my wife was asleep, I took her phone and I recorded one of our children on it. Mommy, mommy, pick up your phone. Mommy, mommy, pick up your phone. And it gets louder and louder. And I set it as her ringtone. So if you phone my wife's phone, that is her ringtone. But if you ask her, she'll tell you no matter what size of a crowd she's in, because she knows Rebecca's voice, she immediately hears it. Do you know the Father's voice? To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. He doesn't call you by name and tell you to go. He calls you by name, stands waiting, and then walks before you. That's what we were saying last week whenever we heard the declaration that Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And we used that illustration of the car headlights shining 6 or 8 feet in front of your car. You can't see all the way home, but the lights shining 6 or 8 feet in front of your car allow you to get home. They show you enough light on the pathway to ensure that you get home safely. The Father walks before you, calling your name and leading the way. He's the door. He's the door that swings open and allows you in. He allows you in. The door opens into the church, into the community of believers. The door opens into the community of heaven. The door opens in and out. But verse 4 is important. Whenever he's brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Do you know the Father's voice? And often that is one of the biggest questions whenever people come and say, what is the Lord leading me into? What is the Lord asking me to do? How will I know? If you're spending time with someone, you will know their voice. If you're in an intimate relationship with someone, you will know their voice. The exact same between you and God. You will know his voice. You will know the way in which he leads you, that he guides you. And as you mature as a believer, you will, whenever the Father speaks you in your heart, you will know that it is him that is speaking. Because you have heard his voice before, and you have trusted it, and you have followed it, and so you will step out and follow it again, because you know that he is going before you to lead the way. But you need to know his voice. You need to be expectant that he will speak. You need to spend time with him to know who he is. Jesus goes on then to describe himself as the door again, that everybody else who's come before him are thieves and robbers, but he is the one who is true. And he finishes this bit in verse 10 by saying, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. Whenever Jesus describes himself as the door, what's behind the door is not a bad thing. Because often sometimes we're fearful about opening a door because we don't know what's behind it. We don't understand what may be down that path or that road. Whenever you open the door that is Jesus, what's behind it is good. Because it can't be anything else. Because that's who he is. And he is who he says he is. As I prayed through this, in the short space of time that I had, that Malachi 3 and 10 passage of God opening the storehouses of heaven and pouring out so much blessing that we couldn't contain it. That image that whenever we come to Jesus, who is the door, that he unleashes heaven. As we talked about last Sunday night here in Ecclesiastes 3 and 11, that he planted the seed of eternity in our hearts, and that seed of eternity unleashes heaven within us. Whenever Jesus is the door, he opens the floodgates of heaven, that all of the blessings that the Father has for us might flow out to us. Now you want to hear his voice. Because he came not to kill or destroy. He came only to bring you life and life in all of its abundance. And then practice time with him. Get to know him. In the knowledge and in the promise that he is the door who opens the floodgates of heaven. In the promise and the knowledge that whenever he calls your name, he goes before you and you can follow him in safety. Because the rest of the day, the sheep actually weren't in a lot of danger either. Because why? The shepherd was with them. He was going before them. He was choosing the path that they would walk on. He was leading them into green pastures, just like Psalm 23 tells us. He was leading them into green pastures to enable them to grow and to mature and to come to all that they were intended to be. And he wants to do the same for you and for me today. He says, I am the door. And the door is unlocked. Just make sure your side of the door doesn't have a bar on it. Make sure you unlock your side of the door and let him in. Let him open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that we couldn't contain it. Because that's what we need. And that's not this prosperity gospel that everything's going to be rosy and brilliant all of the time. That's not what that is. It's a simple fact and promise that whenever Jesus calls you by name, he walks ahead of you and he leads you. And whenever he leads you, he will give you everything that you need out of all of his goodness and his mercy and his enduring faithfulness. Would you come expectant to hear his voice? Come expectant that he is able to do that. And see where that would take you and me. See where that would take us. Let's unleash heaven in this place. Let's pray.